This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. After a decade of misery, the people of Nepal have a chance to vote tomorrow. An election comes after a Maoist insurgency that killed thousands of people. It comes after most of the royal family was shot dead by a drunken crown prince. And it comes after the throne passed to an unpopular king. Now, the voting is seen as a step toward peace. NPR's Philip Reeves reports on a kingdom in the Himalayas, hoping for better times.
2 years have elapsed since the people of Nepal massed angrily on the streets of their capital day after day. They rose up against their king, who had imposed autocratic rule. "We want democracy," the demonstrators cried. Now they're a lot closer to getting their way. Elections are about to be held to create an assembly that'll have the task of writing a new constitution. Kunda Dixit, editor of the Nepali Times, sees this moment as critically important.
For the first time in Nepal's history, a constitution for this country will not be handed down by the king or written by some wise men, but it'll be written by men and women of this country who have, so far in the history, never been counted.
But this moment's also about something else, about a trend that was once unthinkable but was evident among those crowds 2 years ago.
There's one man standing here with a banner. And on that banner is written the words, "The end of history, the last king of the country." So there are some significant elements in this crowd who feel that the king should go altogether.
Nepal's been a monarchy for almost 240 years. Now the country's on the brink of becoming a republic. The uprising persuaded the king, Gyanendra, to hand power back to the country's political parties. The Maoists then called a halt to their so-called people's war and joined the interim government. Now, under pressure from the Maoists, the interim government's decided that the first order of business for the new assembly, the one about to be elected, will be to get rid of Nepal's monarchy. There have already been official moves to airbrush out Gyanendra. For example, the word royal has been cut from the name of the national airline, and the new national anthem includes no reference of allegiance to the monarch.
The monarchy is actually responsible for not allowing industrial development to take place, not allowing any urbanization to take place.
That's Hisla Yami. Not so long ago, she was a Maoist guerrilla. Now she's a minister in the interim government. She strongly favours abolition. Nishchay Rana equally strongly disagrees. He's worked under King Gyanendra as a minister. Nepal's fraught with ethnic and caste divisions. There's a violent ethnic uprising in its southern plains. Rana worries that without some form of monarchy, the entire country would fall apart.
It's literally almost broken down into small pieces. If the institution of monarchy is not here, I don't think there would be any other forces that can really integrate and keep Nepal as one country.
Supporters of the king argue that the future of the monarchy is such an important issue that it should be decided by a public referendum. They also believe that abolishing the monarchy is only the first step in a Maoist plan, a plan to turn Nepal step by step into a communist state run along the lines of North Korea. Kamal Thapa heads a pro-monarchy political party.
At first stage, they are trying to attack monarchy. And the next target of the communist political parties, especially the Maoist, would be the democratic forces and democracy in Nepal. And in that situation, the democratic forces will need the support of monarchy.
Put these points to Hisla Yami, the Maoist minister, and she says there's nothing to be worried about. She speaks of pluralism and private enterprise.
In fact, we are entering into the government to make the whole country national capitalist country. Not communist right now, no.
Not right now. But what about later?
As a communist, I would say the last goal is a communist state.
There was a time when the people on the streets of Nepal revered their monarch as the incarnation of a Hindu deity. Now Nepal's monarchy will be lucky to survive the next few months. These are nervous times. Some fear violence during the election. Nothing set in stone. And whatever Nepal's new constituent assembly decides about the king's fate, it's too soon, says Kunda Dixit, to write him off.
Don't count the monarchy out yet. A recent public opinion poll showed that 49% of people still want some form of monarchy. Not an absolute monarchy, but a ceremonial, symbolic, you know, some kind of monarchy. That's half the population.
Philip Reeves, NPR News.